I'm Sean.
And I'm Mike, and you're listening to
Sean and Mike Take a Hike.
Welcome to another episode of Sean and Mike Take a Hike. What do you want to talk about today, Sean?
I want to talk about maps today.
Maps.
Yeah. All
right.
I know. It's so, A, disclaimer right up front. It's kind of going to be hard to talk about maps in an audio format, but
right.
You and I talk quite a bit on this podcast about, you know, make sure you take a map, make sure you know how to read a map. Well, I thought we could spend an episode talking to people that don't necessarily know how to use a printed map.
Right, because most people rely on some kind of their phone or GPS or something like that.
Right, everybody's got like GPS and stuff these days that they're using in their vehicle. I don't know, there's probably people listening that have never held a physical map in their hands, or at least it's been a really long time since you've held a physical map. I don't think it would hurt for us to do a refresher about how to read a map, what a map can tell you, what the different types of maps there are.
Right. Well, because every trailhead, well, not every, but most trailheads and things like that, there's a sign that's got a map, and it kind of shows you are here, and like then it shows different trail markings and things like that. So
absolutely. Or we've talked about, you know, we went to like the Porky's, or we went up to Pictured Rocks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Those different trails have specific online, you know, you can download a PDF of, okay, here's the trail map for this area. We'll print that out and take that with you. Like, and that is a good thing to have. You are not going to have cell signal everywhere. Maybe your phone dies while you're out there. Maybe you don't want to take a phone because you're like, you know, disconnecting from society for a few days.
Yep.
Have that paper map, but if you're going to take that paper map, know how to read it. That's item number one.
Right, for sure. So how do you want to get started on this?
Okay, so here's where I want to get started, which is actually talking about something that is not a map, but
okay,
generally
bold strategy.
I know. Well, so here's my two cents, and I won't go too into detail on this one, but I want to say right up front, if you're going to have a paper map, have a compass to go with it.
Okay, yes.
So, peripherals. Yeah. So, like, you're going to need is a strong word. If you're going to bother having a paper map, which I'm saying you should, you're going to want a compass to go with it, because you're going to want to be able to orient that map
in the direction you need to go.
In the direction so that you can understand where you're at in relation to the things on your map that you're looking at should you need to do that.
For sure.
There are ways to do it without a compass. I don't want to get too deep in the weeds onto what those other ways are, because that seems like a very much more advanced thing to talk about.
Right.
On, like, what can you see and where is it in relationship to where you're staying? Like, that's a whole other thing. A compass is going to point north.
Right.
Like, learn how to read a compass. Make sure you understand that the needle pointing north, it is going to point north, and then you can rotate your map, which should have an arrow on it pointing north.
Right.
To the same direction that your compass is pointing, and at least you can get your bearings that way and, like, orient everything based on that.
Right.
So that's item number one. That was the first thing I want to talk about.
Okay.
Take a compass.
Well, that checks one thing off the list that I want to talk about anyway, was the north arrow. Make sure you find that so you know how to orient. When you find north, point your map in that direction. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, perfect. So let's talk about that for a minute. So, like, the compass, your compass, like, in your pocket, but then the compass on the map. So both of those are called a compass. I think the one on the map is called a compass rose, if I remember my high school days.
I think so, yeah.
But they're both called a compass, so it gets kind of confusing. But, yeah, the compass on the map should at bare minimum have an arrow pointing north.
Right.
For what is north on the map. Now, usually that is towards the top of the map. Usually the arrow pointing north is also pointing to the top of the map. Usually.
Usually, yeah. If you're looking at it and there's words and you can read those words because you have the map right side up,
right,
then that should be north. So if it doesn't have a map or a compass rose, then use that as a general rule of thumb, as that is north because you can read the words.
Right.
Especially like the NCT, if you download or print off those maps, then those I don't believe have a north arrow on those. I don't think. I could be wrong, but I don't think they do. But they are oriented to where
the top of the page is north.
Yeah. So,
and I say usually because there are certainly maps that I have seen that north is not always the top of the page. So find the compass rose on the map if there is one. Make sure that north, figure out which way north is. Line that up with your compass.
Yep, for sure.
Then, after that, usually a map will also have a legend. So let's talk about the legend for a minute.
Okay.
And the types of things that the legend will tell you.
Okay.
And this is kind of going to depend on the type of map that you have. So there are different types of maps, too, which we'll get into in a second.
Right. But okay.
Generally speaking, in, like, the legend area, you're going to have, like, if there are different types of lines on your map, which typically there are, so, like, there might be one type of line, maybe it's a thick line that marks paved roads.
Right, yep.
And maybe a thin black line is dirt roads. And maybe a thick dotted line is ATV trails.
Right.
And maybe, like, a dotted line that's just like little circles, right? Instead of dashes, it's little circles. Maybe that means hiking trail. So, like, your legend should tell you
what kind of path or road or trail.
Yeah, like, this is what this map uses to delineate mm-hmm. these different things. It might even go so far as to tell you, like, a squiggly blue line means river. Shaded in green area means national forest.
Okay.
So, like, it's going to tell you a bunch of things
yeah.
that are pertinent to the specific map that you're reading.
Right. And if you're hiking a 9-11 mile route, and that's you've got it zoomed in to that route per se, there could be other things on that legend when you zoom in, such as bathhouses,
sure.
Camping spots,
trailheads,
things like that. So you just have to pay attention to what each symbol indicates so you know what you're getting into.
Right. Like, especially, so one of the things that we talk about that you're especially going to want to know on the map, particularly if you are trying to backcountry camp, and if
yeah.
there are rules that say where you're camping, you've got to be more than a mile from the closest campground. So usually your map, especially if it's one specifically for, like, outdoorsy type stuff, it's probably going to show where campgrounds are, like actual campgrounds. So then you'll know, like, okay, well, if I'm trying to be out in the backcountry and I know I got to be more than a mile from that, then don't plan on setting up around this icon of a little tent or whatever the icon is for the campground.
Right. Yep, for sure. Yeah, most areas you've got to be a mile away from that or something. So, yeah, again, that's do your own research on that. But just, yeah, know what each little thing means on that legend so you can mind your P's and Q's.
Yep. Some other things that you might see on there is, like, I mean, I mentioned, like, the shaded color showing, mm-hmm. you know, maybe a state forest or whatever. But, like, usually there's going to be, like, a boundary line, too. Like, if you're at the edge of a state forest or a national forest and you're crossing back into maybe, like, private land or whatever, not only is the shading probably going to be different, but there's probably going to be some sort of delineating line drawn on the map too. So those are other things that you can look at to kind of figure out the people that made this map. What were their intention? What are they trying to tell you? Usually they're not trying to keep anything a secret, right? So they're going to tell you, like, if it's something they used on the map, the legend's going to tell you, like, this is what this means.
Right. Yeah. They're trying to communicate with you.
So we did the Compass Rose. We did the Legend. The other good thing or important thing to kind of find on the map when you start using it is there's going to be a little thing that shows you like distance. So like,
right.
Is the it scale. Like yep. 1 inch equals 1 mile, or is it like, you know, 6 inches equal a mile, or it's going to have like a little scale somewhere that shows you, okay, this long of a line equals this far.
Which can be tricky when you're talking with hiking trails, because usually you go 20 feet and then it curves. And so like, it's hard to get a true inch or mile.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, you get a general idea.
Rarely are you going in an absolute straight line.
Right.
Usually if you're going in a straight line, you're probably walking down a road.
Right. And, yeah.
You probably know where you're at if you're on a road, so right. or relatively where you're at least.
Right.
Those are usually the sections of the trail that Mike and I try to avoid, because it's like, you know, we're just going out for like a day hike. I don't necessarily just want to hike down the road for a day.
Right, right. And 9 miles just on the road would be great. Right.
I mean, it counts.
I mean, you're still out. You're
it
still
totally
out,
counts.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's usually the stuff that Mike and I try to avoid. So, like, those are the things that I wanted to specifically point out that, like, a map will, or, like, the important information pieces.
Well, one thing that I've got a couple of other things, too, is that there could be grid lines with your map that help with the distance. So, if you have a you're going to have a scale that tells you what is the distance, and usually that scale will be the equal distance to those grid lines. So then you've got more of an idea, like, and they could be labeled, like you'll have the rows up top will be A, B, C, D, E, and then the sides will be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then basically a spreadsheet. We know how much I love those.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can say, okay, we're at D5, and we're going to go north about half a mile, and then we're going to take a left. You know, you just kind of, you get a bearing of how far you're going to be walking before you should be meeting these changes in your elevation or changes in your direction or things like that. So those grid lines can come in handy if you happen to have them. You won't always, not every map has those, but they come in handy if they do.
Okay. Yep. That's a good one to point out. Especially, I guess the other thing that I'll add to that, if I can just kind of like glob onto your topic for a second there, yeah. But like, usually if it's broken down into grids like that, there's probably or might be a spot on the map that also says like Jake's Campground.
Like A4. An index type thing or whatever.
Yeah, like an index. That's the word I'm looking for. There will be something that's like, you know, if you're looking for this, it's in this grid or whatever, mm-hmm. You know, like, so that's another way, especially if it's like a larger map or like a map with a lot of stuff on it.
Right. Those are more like in atlases, I think, or like you said, larger maps. But some areas like State Forest campgrounds, sometimes you look at those maps and they've got those grid lines because they've got different campgrounds or campsites throughout the whole forest, so they want to let you so you can see everything. Yep. And then one other thing that I have as a key feature, something that could be on there, if it is a topographical map, and I'll take that topic since you struggle with that word. if it is a topographical map, it'll have contour lines, which will show the elevation change or slope and steepness of the trail you're going to be on. The closer together the lines, the steeper it is.
Yeah.
So that's just something to know. If you're looking specifically at a topographical map, then you need to pay attention to those lines so you know what you're getting into before you even get out on the trail. You could look and say, it's only 3 miles, but like, you got a good section of that where the contour lines are pretty close together. You're going straight uphill almost. Like,
well, so I've actually been practicing the word topographical. So apparently I can say it now. But let's talk about those for a minute, because realistically, for my money, those are the most useful.
Yeah. We get the most bang out of our buck for any of the maps we look at. We always look at the topographical map for the area we're going.
And
always.
Right. And I shared before my struggles, not just with saying the word topographical, but also my struggle in that I had misread the very first one that we used.
Right.
I had misread it to totally misunderstand how much elevation gain there was going to be in a given day.
Right. Yeah.
Because I didn't realize what I was looking at. So let's take a second to kind of talk more about those lines. So again, like Mike said, the closer together the lines are, the steeper the incline or potentially decline,
Yep.
is going to be. But it should somewhere tell you, like,
what if they're the an inch apart,
or what the elevation change between those lines is. So, like, it will have a line every 25 feet or every 50 feet, or the one I happened to read wrong was in meters, which led me to that's what led me to read it wrong, as I didn't realize it was in meters, which turns out are quite different from feet. So it was like three times as much elevation gain as what we were anticipating. So I point that out so that the listener does not make the same mistake that I did. Make sure you understand what unit of measurement this is in.
Is it in standard or metric? We say standard, but it's just the U.S. standard. We're different than everybody else.
I think it's actually imperial.
Oh, that's right.
I think it's imperial or metric.
Yeah. Yep.
Not to correct you, but
oh, sure.
We do call it standard, but I'm pretty sure it's imperial is the actual name. But then here's another thing that I did not realize the first time that I looked at them. So, on most topographical maps, every fifth line is a thickness of line. For basically no other reason than because it's every fifth one. Like, it doesn't mean something different. Like, I took a long time trying to figure out, like, why is this line thicker? What does that mean? It's the fifth line. Like, it doesn't really mean anything. It's just the fifth one. Why do they do that? I don't know, maybe to make it easier to read. But it doesn't necessarily mean anything special, I guess is what I'm trying to get to. So don't be freaked out if you see a thick line on a topographical map. And then again,
it might be there just to help with keeping count of like how many feet you're like, okay, it's this to this line or something. Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, but I haven't really read I don't want to get into like a whole history of topographical maps. Like, that is not what this podcast is. we are certainly not a history podcast, but yeah, I mean, I'm assuming somebody, it's probably to make it easier to read, or somebody came up with that standard or whatever. And I will say, I have certainly seen topographical maps where like none of the lines are thicker. So it's certainly not all of them, but just don't be weirded out if you see one that is like that. Now, here's another thing. If I can combine this topic with the map scale topic.
Okay.
So, like we were saying, the scale is going to tell you distance in a straight line. So, I know it's not exactly accurate, but that scale is not going to tell you anything about elevation gain. So, you're going to have to kind of figure out both. And when I say that in like in the planning and figuring out how far you can go in a day, more hill lines is going to take longer than less hill lines, right?
Right, yeah. If you've got an inch worth of distance and that, let's say, is 1 mile, but you've got three of those topographical lines in there right in that one little inch, that could be a pretty significant amount of elevation in that 1 mile.
Right.
So
the general rule of thumb is figure out, so it's going to be obviously everybody's pace is different, but generally speaking, they say figure a half hour for every mile that you're going to walk. And then to that, add 30 minutes for every 1,000 feet of uphill that you gain. Now, keep in mind that doesn't mean necessarily like you're going from sea level to 1,000 feet. Like you might go up 100 feet and then come down 50 feet and then go up another 100 feet and then come down 100 feet. But like your total of uphill elevation gain,
right,
for every 1,000 of those, roughly add a half hour.
Right. Yes.
Does that make sense? How I'm saying that?
Yeah. We kind of explained that on I forget what other episode that was.
That I know, like I forget going what uphill episode definitely that was too, that takes, we kind of definitely roughly takes talked one, about yeah. that.
So, but yeah, like it, yeah, it definitely takes longer to go uphill. And it's probably in our planning episode. I bet you it is.
Probably.
So, when it comes down to your planning, that's where you really need to bear down and pay attention to all of that stuff. The last thing you want to do is expect to be going 9 miles and then turns out 6 of them are straight uphill.
Right.
And you're like, you're done at 3, you know, like, so just be mindful of your distance and your contour lines.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
So I guess what else do we want to talk about?
I mean, that's all I have as far as key features, as far as like things you're going to see on the map. I have a few tips and tricks we've kind of already discussed, like practice identifying your terrain and your features and things like that. We kind of hit that one home. The one thing that if you're printing a map that doesn't have your route highlighted on it already, like we use apps that highlight, trace your actual route and maybe photocopy that and give that to a loved one so they know about where you're supposed to be. Circle like, this is campsite number 1 for night 1. This is campsite 2 for night 2, like things of that nature, just so they know your whereabouts, when you're supposed to be there. So if they don't hear from you for a while, they can tell people where to look if search and rescue needs to be called. So definitely trace your route and make sure you hit like the key things you need to look for, you know, where you need to turn or things mm-hmm. like that. And then laminate it, fold it and put it in a baggie, something in case it rains, it won't get damaged. So you still have your map.
Not everybody is like Mike. Mike has a laminator at his house that he likes to laminate with things. If you are not a huge nerd like Mike,
I didn't ask for it. I just got it because people know me.
Because people know you. Exactly. Nerd. But yeah, like, you don't need to laminate it. Don't go out and buy a laminator just for your map. You can put it in a Ziploc bag. It'll be fine.
Put it in a Ziploc bag,
you know, fold it in half or whatever with the printed parts facing out, put it in a Ziploc bag. It'll be waterproof enough, especially if you're going just for like a day or two. Now, if you're trying to use one map for the entire Appalachian Trail, start to finish, something like that, then laminate it. Or realistically, if you're a person trying to do that, they make specific maps for that are on like indestructible waterproof paper. You can get them wherever you get maps, I suppose. I mean, I know they're available on Amazon. I don't love promoting Amazon just like everybody else does.
Right.
But
do your best if you can, if you're doing a bigger trail like the Appalachian Trail or the North Country Trail and you are printing or taking a printed map, if you can and have the means, purchase the downloadable map on their website because that money goes towards helping maintain those trails.
Yeah.
So now, if you don't have the means to do that, print it, trace it, whatever you got to do. I mean, definitely don't stop you from getting out there.
So yes, 100%, totally agree with that. And yes, if you have the ability to purchase it directly from whatever organization's trails you're trying to get on, I 100% agree that that would be the best way to do it. The other thing that I want to say, just to reiterate, we had a whole episode about, you know, hiking after dark and that sort of stuff. Obviously, a printed map is not going to light up like a cell phone or GPS or whatever screen. So,
right,
I stand by, try not to hike after dark, but take something with you that will let you read a map after dark.
Right, for sure.
If that's even remotely a possibility that you're going to need to read a map after dark. So, you know, plan for that. Whether it's a flashlight, whether it's a lighter, whether it's a pack of matches, you know, something.
If you take a pack of matches, keep it away from the map so you don't set the map on
fire. There you go. Good tip. Now, having said all of that, too, I don't think it would hurt to talk about some of the pitfalls of printed maps.
You just hit one, is that they're hard to read in low light. I mean, that's right. Definitely a pitfall. That's
hard to read in low light. Can be affected by the weather, you know, if you don't have something to protect your paper printed map. Possibility of it getting wet, possibility of it getting ripped, all of that sort of stuff. I mean, a ripped map, you can kind of piece back together to the best of your ability, but, you know, if the ink all runs off it, that's not going to be any good. If the paper totally disintegrates, that's not going to be any good.
Right.
The other thing with maps is they're not updated in real time.
Right.
So, like, you know, recently we had an episode about, you know, the ice storms and stuff that we had here locally this past winter. 100%, that is going to impact whether the trails are open, whether they have been rerouted. From my understanding, some of the damage up there was bad enough that likely the path will change. Right. So, you know, how fast are these maps updated? Certainly not real time.
Oh, absolutely not, yeah.
And, you know, so you're going to have to pay attention to, like, how recently was this map updated? When was the issue date for this map?
Right.
Yeah. You know, is it 20 years old? Is it a year old? You know, like those sorts of things do kind of come into play with printed maps. So hopefully they are accurate when you are using them, but pay attention to how old is the map.
For sure. I mean, that's the thing is, like, that's where one of the cons that I've written down is that there is a steeper learning curve than using some technology these days because of how easy technology is to use, and everybody has it. So everybody's used to it. People have forgotten how to use paper maps. So they still come in handy in the backcountry, but most people aren't reading a paper map going down the road. Every vehicle pretty much these days, if it's a newer one, has some kind of GPS or screen on there that has a map that you can follow. So, but that's part of this, the learning curve is that you have to pay attention to, is this route closed? Has it been moved? Is the trail open? Like things of that nature. So it's just one of those things that's with technology may not have to be as mindful about.
Yeah. Well, and I want to be clear and a little bit careful. Like I don't want it to come across that I'm saying you have to be like an expert map reader.
Oh no.
Like I'm not telling anybody to go take a class. I'm not, you know, like you, a beginner, if you,
we're not expecting you to be cartographers. Is that what it is?
Yes. I am not expecting you to be like a master cartographer in any way, but like at least know the basics of how to read a map, right? Like know how to read it in like, okay, here's the trail I want to be on. And then, okay, roughly a mile in, I'm going to cross, according to this, a paved road.
Right.
And then when you get roughly a mile in, do you cross a paved road? Okay, well then you're doing good. Like you're right, where you should be. The map seems pretty accurate. You've done a good job so far. What's your next thing? Okay, in another half mile, I should cross this blue line. This looks like a river or a stream to me. In roughly a half mile, do you get to a river or a stream? Okay, you're probably doing good then. So, like, you've got to be an expert. You don't have to know, like, exact down to the foot. And, well, like...
And that's where one of my, like, big pros that I thought when I was researching this is, like, that's one of the biggest benefits of having a paper map or having a map in general is that it makes you more aware of your surroundings. It makes you take in like more of your mental surroundings, like to making a note, like, okay, we passed this. This looks like the hill that's over here. This looks like it's got a big tree on the map or something. Like there's a, you know, like it just gets you more in tune with where you're at, with your surroundings.
Yeah. I mean, and Mike and I do, I mean, we're making up this story kind of sort of, but like Mike and I make sure that we're accurate in our mileage and stuff based on stuff like this. Like when we're out on the trail, we're constantly saying, like, okay, we're at this intersection. We need to go from, you know, we're at marker B. We got to go towards marker D, if there's even markers out there. But then we'll say, like, okay, well, that marker D should be 2.5 miles. And according to this map, when we get halfway there, we're going to cross an ATV trail. Or an equestrian trail or something like that. And then Mike and I are going and we're running out of gas and we're like, okay, gotta be getting there soon. And then suddenly you round a corner and then, oh, there's the ATV trail. Okay. Yep. We're good. We're like, our mileage is good. Like we're right where we think we should be. Oh yep. Look at that. Or, you know, according to my GPS or whatever, you know, my step tracker, I've gone a mile and a quarter. So yeah, we're right on. We're good. We're where we're supposed to be. We shouldn't have any surprises.
We actually had a fairly easy time with that when we recorded our 50th. There was a lot of trails that we crossed. There was a lot of different markings and things like that on our maps that we were using. And we made mental notes of that. We're like, okay, we're going 9 miles, I think it was, 8 miles, 9 miles. And I'm like, at the 6 mile mark, when we're 3/4 of the way there, we're going to start seeing... We're gonna have a trail that goes to this campground. We're gonna have two trails that cross. We're gonna have this. So like we had a lot that like, and that, not saying you want your time to pass, but it like helps you pass, get through the mental decline of walking, because it does take a strain on you a little
bit.
Yes,
it does. Yeah, 100%.
But like when you hit those different milestones of like, okay, here's that 6 mile mark, and there's that trail to that campground we saw, we're like, we're almost there. Like it just helps you get that little boost. Like,
I mean, for me at least, like, especially when you're getting towards the end, right? Cause like you said, it was about like 2/3 of the way through the path that we were going down. It's like, okay, the first thing that we're going to come to once we get that far is this like offshoot trail to this campground. And then we got there and it's like, okay, good. Okay, we're almost done. Like, we're 2/3 of the way. We can keep going. And then from there, it was like, boom, boom, boom. Like, so it's, and then another half mile, we're going to go across an ATV trail. And then in another half mile, we're going to go across another ATV trail. And then in another half mile, we're going to go across an actual road. And so then it's like, okay, all right, just like, I just got to go, got to go another half mile. And then you get to that next one. It's like, okay, good. Just another half mile to the next thing. And like, it really does give you, I don't want to say a second wind, but like it gives you that little wind that keeps you going.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a mental milestone. That's just like I accomplished that one. Here's the next one. And like, you just kind of keep accomplishing things. And it's just that mental thing that you got something done. You're walking in the woods. We're backpacking, but I mean, like, You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just one of those little task things. When you sit around the house on a day off or whatever, and you just lounge around, sometimes you need those days. But if it's days where you got things you need to get done and you just lounge around, and then at the end of the day, you're just like, well, shit, I just wasted a whole damn day. You know, you don't get any of that mental, like, accomplishment, you know, I can't think of the word I'm looking for, but you get that reassurance. So you're like, yeah, I'm doing good stuff. Like, you get that little dopamine, like, hit.
Yeah.
I think is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, so. You totally get those little dopamine hits. And, like, we're saying the same thing. But, like, I mean...
Right, yeah.
That little extra oomph for that little pat yourself on the back and, like, mm-hmm. okay, you're almost there. You made it this far. Get yourself another quarter mile or get yourself another half mile or whatever. Like, those little milestones that show up on the map that you can cross-reference, mm-hmm. they give you that little boost and an adrenaline pump and all the things to help you keep going.
For sure. I think that's all I have on my little hit list of things I wanted to cover. Did you have anything else?
The only other thing that I wanted to, I guess, kind of circle back to, because I already kind of talked about it, but I said a few minutes ago, like, I don't want anybody to be an expert, right? Like, you just generally know how to read a map.
We're not experts.
We're certainly not experts. We're not out making our own maps or anything like that. But the one tip I would share is reading a map is one of those things where you will get better at it the more you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would encourage people that are new to reading maps and new to hiking and backpacking, I would encourage you to take a map even on a really short hike. Like,
yeah,
take it with you, practice reading it. If you're at all nervous about reading it or really maybe not confident in your abilities, take it on really short ones. Take it on ones mm-hmm. where you know where you're at. Like, if you've got a local trail like you like to just go walk on, and maybe you like to take your dog for a walk there, or maybe you just like to get out in nature and there's like a short little, you know, half mile trail or 1 mile trail. If there's a map of that trail system that you're already familiar with the trail system, take a map and then mm-hmm. like learn with surroundings you already know, compare that to the printed map to say, like, oh, okay, that's what this clearly means and that's what this clearly means.
Right.
That will help you on your longer or larger backpacking trips to give you some confidence that, yeah, you really do know what you're doing when you're reading this map. You've proven it because you read these other ones that you were on.
Yeah. And to, I guess, kind of to add to that is, we're not saying just walk with the map in your hand and stare at the map and all that kind of stuff. Fair. It's just like, keep it handy, like in your belt, like you've got pockets on your belt or like in your pockets, in your pants or something like that. Keep it in that. And then you can reference it as you need it. Yeah. We're not saying you need to like sit there and be like walking like a tourist in a city, like,
for sure.
Oh, I should, you know.
Yeah, so. For sure. Thank you for clarifying that. Right. Yes. I'm not saying walk with it in your hand the entire time. Take it out periodically. You know, you stop right. for a rest, or you stop for lunch, or you stop to refill your water. Take it out. Have a quick look.
Yeah. Just pick your waypoints and like, okay, this should be about a mile or a mile and a half where I want to take another break. These are the things I should see before I get there. And just be mindful of your surroundings and see if you see those things. Like I said, that just kind of gets your mind back into nature and looking around instead of staring at your feet while you're walking.
Right.
But don't do what I did and look up and then fall down. Right. So
every once in a while, look at your feet. Well, that's all I've got. Did you have anything else you wanted to touch on, Mike?
No, that's it. I think we covered pretty much everything that I had on my my list for becoming a basic map reader.
Awesome. Well, if any of our listeners have any map reading tips or map tips in general or a place where you like to get your maps, we'd love to hear about it. You can always reach us on our email, which is seanmikehike@gmail.com. We're on most of the major socials at seanmikehike, or you can always reach us directly on our website, which is seanmikehike.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. And until next time, go take a hike.
Go take a hike and bring a map.
There you go. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
See ya.